God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke, said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Ever tell you about the time my daughter, when she was a little girl, made a really, really bad decision? We were in an art store in West Seattle. We'd been out spending this day, and we beachcombed, and I built for her a huge log home. It was really a one-room home on the beach. We even succeeded somehow in getting a window in that, and it was just this great house. And we went there the weekend after, I'm not kidding you, a guy had moved into it. He was living there. And we went to go kind of work on it, and he was a guy homeless and looked like a good place to live to him. So we gathered some things on the beach, and we took them in to the house, shells and leaves. My daughter really liked leaves. She liked the difference in them and the vein structures. And like I say, I think she was she wasn't even in kindergarten yet. She was probably four. And we decided to make this collage. So we had glue, and we bought this big paper. We bought butcher paper that day. We rolled that out on the floor, and later we made, we did, you know how you do finger painting? We got into our bathing suits, and we did body painting. I still have that. Just an incredible day, but she made a horrible mistake. And I'd gone upstairs to make lunch and came back down. And I gave her her sandwich and her, I think I always had her drink water, but she was sitting on the couch and she said, "Dad," I said, "Yeah, there's nothing under this couch cushion." "Okay, is there something under the couch cushion?" She started to tear up. She goes, "I made a big mistake." "What's under the couch cushion?" And she cried, "I took this." And it was a chestnut that had been made into lip gloss. And for effect, I said, "You stole that." "I made a big mistake." "Yes, you did. I'm really proud of you admitting it." Now, if I was a discipled man, I would have said at the time, "Praise God for the Holy Spirit convicting you. We're not to steal. Beautiful, God in the Holy Spirit. See how the Holy Spirit convicted you?" We made her take it back. And I got to say, the lady was not particularly kind. Though this little girl had admitted this mistake, and who hasn't made a mistake as a kid? So usually I would share something like that with you on a personal note as we wrap up the program, but wasn't that cute? That she knew there was something under the couch cushion, but she had to say there's nothing under the couch cushion. Congress is lying to us. They don't want us to look under the couch cushion. Every single congressional representative who votes for the continuing resolution, first of all, given the fact that no one is able to read the whole thing, they're committing an act of fraud. And let's make it very simple. If you went to a bank and you opened a checking account and they brought you a 1,500-page document and said, "Sign here," would you? If you would, I'm here to say it must be a heck of a thing being broke your entire life. Because that's an invitation to say, "Steal from me." Well, that's the meta fraud. Within a meta fraud. The Constitution says Congress shall create a budget. Not Congress might think about it. Or Congress will dodge that responsibility by doing a continuing resolution on top of continuing resolutions, which are easier to pass, and which just assume that government's just going to continue to grow inexorably. But hidden in this particular monstrosity is Section 605. No one who is a patriot can sign this. Let me repeat that. Say it a little differently. If you vote for this, you are not a patriot. If you vote for this, you hate the American people. If you vote for this. It's rough language. Must be a pretty serious piece of legislation. It is. Section 605 is designed to make it impossible to investigate Congress. It's designed to make them even more accountability free. Nancy Pelosi is a thief. Her wealth comes from insider trading. Mitch McConnell is a thief. His wealth comes from insider deals, trading, etc. He and his wife, Elaine, both. I'm not bearing false witness. We have their salaries. We have their wealth. We have the pattern of behaviors. Piece of legislation is coming. Frank Pelosi knows it's coming. He shorts the stock at risk. It's right there. But see, that's even that's the micro fraud within the macro fraud. So what's in this Section 605? Well, it's not anything that the Mockingbird media was interested in discussing. This comes from a Substack called, it's written by someone called Amuse. I've followed them on Twitter for years. They have an investigative journalism background. They produce videos. And they and others have taken Section 605 out of the continuing resolution. They have produced it. So you can look at the raw data yourself. You can look at the source data. So you don't have to trust Amuse. They're not the only ones covering this. A lot of people are covering this, but not in the Mockingbird media. So let's break this down. Section 605 says that Congress retains perpetual possession of all, quote, House data. All House data. What does that mean? Everything. So, for instance, who were the cops who opened the doors for the protesters and rioters on January 6th, because most people were just protesting? Who were they? Who gave that order? Oh, I'm sorry, that's House data. Or for instance, this. We now know that it wasn't just General Milley who offered to commit fraud or commit treason. He said he was willing to commit treason if President Trump had determined that he needed, as executive in chief, and commander of the military, to launch an attack against China. General White Rage said he would warn his Chinese counterparts. In other words, he said, don't worry, I'll commit treason for you. He is not alone to have delayed or denied President Trump's request for military personnel to guard the Capitol. So there could be an investigation ongoing. We need to see that data. Oh, sorry, we own that. House data. Hey, we've found that the bureaucracies have paid Reuters $300 million. Reuters, who went and won a Pulitzer Prize for their reporting that was apparently underwritten by the government. We'd like some records on that. Oh, I'm sorry. That's our data. We own it. That's what Section 605 does. We have perpetual ownership over that. So you could say with some knowledge, and you'd be right, well, then just get a subpoena. You know, Todd Herman, that's why they invented the courts. Go get a subpoena. The House can't do anything about that. Oh, yeah, they can. See, also in Section 605 of the continuing resolution is this. The legislative branch is saying to the judicial branch, courts are ordered to quash or modify subpoenas for House data. So say, for instance, I, a citizen who is forced to pay taxes to this corrupt government agents, corrupt government. In fact, I still haven't written my check. I know I'm going to pay a fine. I know. I honestly, I'll tell you what. When President Trump actually gets into the White House, I'll stroke my check for $33,000. Up until then, I'm holding it back, and I'm only paying it because Jesus says to. Period. But let's say that I, a citizen of the United States, I'm curious now. There's these payments to Reuters, $300 million. Are they the only ones who got money from the government? And certainly that had to be connected to some form of benefit. I mean, Congress and these bureaucratic agencies didn't just hand that out expecting nothing. So let's say that I was to go get a Freedom of Information Act request, and they said no, and it ended up in a court. And a judge looked at this and said, yeah, you've got reason to believe. You've got good reason to believe that the government was passing money out to media organizations. Yes, release that information. Oh, sorry, Congress said no, you have to quash or modify subpoenas for House data. Sorry. But I'm just a Joe. Let's say that we had a government now where the FBI is run by Cash Patel, the DOJ is run by Pam Bondi, the executive branch is run by President Donald Trump with a strong assist from J.D. Vance. And let's say that RFK Jr. is running the Health and Human Services. Let's say that Dr. Vivek, Bhattacharya is running the National Institute of Health. And let's say that various things happen. For instance, let's say RFK Jr. says, hey, I'm curious, how many congressional critters got paid money from Pfizer or Moderna for speeches or board seats? How many of their staff were promised jobs at Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson after they left the House? I want that data. So I'm going to take it to the DOJ. Let's say that Pam Bondi reviews this, Cash Patel reviews this. Well, I guess it wouldn't be the FBI. Pam Bondi says, yeah, we'll pursue this. We, the Department of Justice, will issue a subpoena for this to this court. And the judge looks at this and goes, yep, this is reasonable. I'm gonna sign off on this. Oh, wait, nope, I can't. Because Congress said, I don't get to. Because Congress is special. These are the acts of guilty people. I'll say it again. They're guilty. This is a confession. There's something else Section 605 does. It's retroactive. So there may well be subpoenas out there. For instance, why did the Department of Homeland Security take over President Trump's appearance in Butler, Pennsylvania, not Secret Service? Why was that decision made? Why were agents put on President Trump's body team who were admittedly insufficiently trained? Why did you decide to allow the two highest points of vantage, the tall land? Why did you leave that uncovered? Why did you leave the water tower uncovered? Who made that decision? Oh, I'm sorry. You can't have that data. That's in a congressional committee. That's our data now. Oh, no. It's Secret Service. Oh, no, I'm sorry. See, remember when we said we own all congressional data? Well, it happens that some congressional staffers had conversations with the Secret Service. So I'm sorry, you can't have that data because now that's ours. So let me boil it down very, very clearly. You do not get to say you're a patriot and vote for this. You do not get to say you love America and vote for this. So it's really simple. The continuing resolution should be shot down in flames, or this should be removed from it. Choose. I'm Todd Herman. We'll come back under the Disciples' View. Thank you. appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Interesting email just now popped in. You can email me easily at thetoddhermanshow.com. You can go to afr.net. And this comes from Beth in Pittsburgh. Dear Todd, when you speak about our elected representatives, you are to speak with respect. That's straight from the Bible. Please concentrate on that. I'm disappointed in you. Thank you, Beth. We were just talking in the last, but first of all, Beth, thank you for listening. Thank you for the notes. Beth, we were talking about Section 605 in the continuing budget resolution, which is an absolute refusal of Congress to do their constitutionally determined job. They shall create a budget. Congress has said, yeah, we don't want to. They took an oath they're not fulfilling. They've driven us $330 trillion into debt is the real number. They're obviously engaged in insider trading, obviously doing that. No one can pretend otherwise. And Section 605 of this fraud of the continuing resolution makes it impossible for them to be held to account by government authorities. So, Beth, with all love and all respect to you, sister, they're thieves. I can call them congressmen and congresswomen. Congresswoman Pelosi is a thief. Congressman McConnell is a thief. Pardon me, Senator McConnell is a thief. You cannot be a patriot and say, I am in America. In America, you can't be a patriot and say, I am an elected official, therefore I am unaccountable to the people. I cannot be taken to court. I am immune to DOJ investigations. But I want to know when you send $200 to someone on Venmo. So, Beth, I love you. I appreciate the note. I appreciate you listening to AFR. On this topic, I disagree with you. I don't think I've been the least bit disrespectful. I think I've been descriptive. We do something at the end of the program called the Tower of Babbling. And it's kind of a funny segment when it's done right. When I get out of my own way and let God take over, it's kind of funny. And it really does refer to the fact of the Tower of Babbling, that God was observing people. God said to the Hebrew people, okay, you're going to go from this place and disperse. That's what I'm telling you you're going to do. And they said, we'd rather not. We prefer it here. Thanks, though. We've got a better idea. We're going to build the great big tower. And just like Adam and Eve, when they were going to eat the fruit from the tree of good and evil, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the forbidden fruit, we're going to be just like you. So we're going to build a great big tower, and we're going to get up high just like you. And God said, oh, okay, so you're going to take the gifts I gave you. I removed you from bondage. I took you out of Egypt. I fed you with manna from heaven. I've brought water from stone for you. Okay, well, how about this? I'll just take your language away. I'll just take away your common tongue. Now build your tower. It didn't work, right? Never say that God doesn't have a sense of humor. He invented humor. So we use that segment to point out that God, I think, puts these people on these towers for us to observe. Wow, you know what? They're really obviously spiritually captured. And man, if there's one theme for this show, we talk about it at the beginning of the show, there's one problem and there's one solution. The problem is sin. The solution is Christ. And then there are surrounding this, I think, repeats of biblical times. I wish I was there. But man, I'd hope I'd have been on the right side. When they crucified our Lord, I hope I would have been on the right side. I hope I would have been weeping. I hope I would have been on my knees. I know I was not brave enough to say, take me, not him. I don't think I was brave enough for that. No, whip me, not him. But can you imagine the aftermath? After he had risen, and people began to put the pieces together. And they said, did you hear? The curtain in the temple came down. That was the curtain that separated this massive, massive drapery, thick, imposing, that separated the common people from the Holy of Holies. When Jesus' body died, that curtain fell, torn in half, destroyed. And the Holy of the Holies was open to all of us. Can you imagine the discussion? People sometimes in whispered tones speaking about the significance of that. The Son of Man dies, and we can look into the Holy of Holies. So I think that God has, in a very similar way, looked at the temple of Washington, D.C. There's the temple. That's our hope. Some trust in chariots and horses. Others trust in the everlasting word of God. Every word that proceeds from his mouth. And I think that God has torn a curtain down. And I think he continues to tear the curtain down. And I think he's doing a combination of things. As he tears down the curtain, he says, look behind here. Please, please, please look behind here. I always have been. I am that I am. I always have been. I always will be. I'm a God in three personalities, the Holy Spirit, my Son, the Lord Jesus. Father God, I love you. I want you back in the family. You are being misled. You have idols of sex and TV and sports and looks and government. And so we get things like this. This is from James O'Keefe, who used to be with Project Veritas. He's now with O'Keefe Media Group. So James O'Keefe of the O'Keefe Media Group has broken another story. This is Henry Appel, a National Security Council advisor.
Well, here's something. Joe Biden is like dead. He like can't just say something. He's like really like progressed in his whole view. Everybody recognized. I can't believe it wasn't a bigger scandal. He'll be dead in a year.
Meet Henry Appel, an advisor for the National Security Council. Henry Appel shared that President Biden had called the NSC White House phone while on a foreign trip looking for NSC advisor Jake Sullivan. Henry told the president that in fact, Mr. Sullivan was not at the White House, but on the same foreign trip as President Biden.
My boss was on an international trip with him, like in Europe or something. The phone rang in the office, and I was like, well, Mr. President, Henry, he was like, he's safe there. He's like, no, he's traveling with you. He's on the same trip you are.
God gave us eyes. He gave us skepticism. He gave us analysis. He gave us these things to steward. Let's steward it in the public sphere. Joe Biden never ran the White House. False witness? Maybe. Sure looks like he didn't. He didn't know that Jake Sullivan was on the trip with him. The curtain comes down. God is not senile. He's not corruptible. But we choose human gods. And I think he puts them on this tower so we can look up and say, oh, look, he's not even cogent. And you can extend this into academia. Now, this is, I think, a remarkable comparison to the historical Tower of Babel. And now when we get to that segment, it's going to be like the show turned into the Tower of Babel day. I think this is a remarkable example of this. That academia has put itself up as now the gods of gods. They're the ones who came across and said, well, we can't consider in the scientific realm anything that's in the spiritual realm, anything that's miraculous. We only need to operate within the physical world. We're materialists. So that's how they denied looking at creationism, because they're materialists. Then they turn around and say, all of a sudden, Well, we know that the world began with a Big Bang. How? Well, we've examined the material. No, you haven't. You did not go back in time and take something material and touch it and run an experiment on it. You didn't do that. Well, we've examined the trajectory and the Earth, the universe continues to expand. Yeah, right. You're looking at a pattern of things. So are we. And now academia has gotten to this point. God gave us intelligence and skepticism to steward. He gave us his word because his wisdom is what we're to rely on. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We can go back to Genesis and say, okay, how many sexes did you create again, God? Two. Is there a name? Well, yeah, male and female. Okay. We can take that skepticism, apply it to the academic world. That just like in the Tower of Babel days, these materialists, well, we can't have anything miraculous. Jesus couldn't perform miracles. That's for theologians. We're scientists. It has to be in something we can touch and feel, an experiment we can undertake, because we're materialists. Plus, trans women are women. They are? Well, yeah. How do you know? Well, we've looked at the material. No, you haven't, because the material indicates that trans women are men. It's complex. It's not. It's on a spectrum. It isn't. We can see it with our own eyes. So for many of us, I think God has said, yes, you're right. They're charlatans. They're false teachers. Not perhaps in a specific religious sense, but they're attacking my design as fraudulent, as if God screwed up. Oh, dang it. I put her in the wrong body. Oh, sorry. I meant for you to be a boy. We'll work it out in heaven. Sorry. That's not God. And it's all around us, and it takes us back to Washington, D.C. The incredibly weak-kneed president of the NCAA is unwilling, in congressional testimony, unwilling and unable to defend his policies of letting men steal scholarships, victories, and medals from women.
Have guidelines that instruct them what the best practices are, and your guidelines say that biological men can go in and use the women's locker rooms if they want to. What the women want has nothing to do with it. They're not mentioned in here at all, correct? Correct. It's right here. You just reaffirmed them in May of this year. I've got them. I'm reading them.
I believe our guidelines give people optionality with respect to how they choose to use their facilities.
Optionality. What it says is transgender student athletes will be able to use the locker room, shower, and toilet in accordance with their gender identity. That means men will be able to use the women's locker rooms. And as Riley Gaines and others have testified before this committee, that means if a man, a biological man, wants to use their locker room, they just have to accept it. Or else the women have to go somewhere else. They've got to go find an alternative. Why is that fair?
We told the local folks who've hosted our tournaments they need to create accommodations for the people who are playing.
You know, so it's the feds on the one hand, it's the locals on the other hand. The only person who doesn't seem to bear any responsibility in this is you and the NCAA, who are the governing body. And your testimony here today is you're not even subject to Title IX. Mr. Baker, I can't tell you how disappointed this makes me. But not just disappointed, frankly, infuriated for the student-athletes who are suffering because of your policies, and you won't even defend them. You won't even take responsibility. It's outrageous.
Senator,
it's totally outrageous.
Expired.
That says Senator Josh Hawley, with Charlie Baker, the beleaguered and weak-kneed coward who runs the NCAA. Am I bearing false witness? Our eyes and our ears, compared to Genesis, male and female, I've made them in my image. God loves Charlie Baker just as much as he loves any of us. Am I bearing false witness to look at that testimony and say, that's cowardly? Senator Kennedy reveals NCAA President Charlie Baker to be a charlatan.
Why don't you go to Amazon and buy a spine online and take a stand?
It's a great line because he continued this Charlie Baker to dissemble and dissemble and dissemble. And well, I might personally agree with you that those are men, but there he is on his tower for us to observe. Now, that's just a small portion of society, we're told. 1% of people. We'll turn things around in a little bit more good news as we continue, but we do have to go through some unbelievably disturbing headlines about the culture of death that is also being pushed by the same form of lies that our Congress is pushing, wrapping themselves up in no accountability if Section 605 of the continuing resolution passes. The government is not going to be able to, the DOJ is not going to be able to investigate congressional critters. There's the lies that Joe Biden was cogent and well of mind, and now we know through James O'Keefe that at least one national security advisor is saying he didn't even know who was with him on a trip. And then the lies of gender ideologies we talk about a lot here. I'm going to tell you about the percentage of Canadian deaths that are now caused by euthanasia and assisted suicide. We'll talk about what's happened with healthcare workers and the injections, the mRNA injections, and what the NIH is doing in their hiring. Gosh, if only there was a clue as to why they're hiring nurses experts at dealing with inbreeding and the results of it. We'll come back under the Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Listening to Disciples View, I'm Todd Herman. Thank you. We'll get into the actual Tower of Babbling, which kind of that theme took over that last segment of the program. We'll get to that in just a second. This is tough news, and I don't want to be a downer this near to Christmas, but it's things I think you need to know, we all need to know. And we'll get into an admission from a CNN host and leftist organizer, very smart, very dangerous man named Van Jones. In Canada, they started euthanasia, and this was for desperately ill people who had no chance of living, so a doctor could assist them in their dying. Desperately ill. Days to live. Lo and behold, the Canadian authorities are now offering this to 17-year-old kids who are super sad, and 19-year-old women who are fat, and a woman who had been injured by the modified RNA injections, grievously injured, and instead of trying to help her, they said, hey, we could kill you. According to one report, 5% of Canadian deaths are now caused by euthanasia and assisted suicide. That's 13,500 people. But don't worry, this isn't on purpose. Right? I mean, they're not normalizing this on purpose, right? The degree of corruption involved in life and death is staggering. The same technocratic medical class that is killing people using euthanasia is pushing IVF surrogacy into a market that is dominated right now by same-sex attracted men who are able to purchase babies on an open market with no background checks whatsoever. Same-sex attracted couples, no one gets any background checks, unlike adoption. Same people. In the COVID-19 injections that have killed people and rendered all too many people unable to reproduce, healthcare workers had a particularly burdensome response to this. A new study reveals, this is peer-reviewed, that employer so-called vaccination mandates, shot diktats, led to suicidal thoughts in 23.5% and depression and anxiety in 81.4% of healthcare workers. The 81.4% is a pretty near match to the percentage of healthcare workers who refuse to take the shots. Let me slow down, pause, let you, yes, churn up your radio. 81.4% of healthcare workers in Canada said, nope, I'm not taking those shots. 23.5% of people, percent of healthcare workers in Canada experienced suicidal thoughts during the injection diktats. Why? You're not to lord your power over others. We as Christians are not to do that. I don't think there's any greater example of the government lording their power over others by saying it puts the needle in its skin if it wants to eat again. Say the same thing about the masks. Well, and then there's this. The National Institute of Health, National Health Service in the UK is on a massive hiring spree for nurses who have experience with inbred children, the children of close cousins. That's weird. Why is that happening? That hadn't really been an issue in the UK since the time of the royals. Well, I mean, there were still the royals, but when the time of the royal control, as it were, now they're sort of ornaments. What in the world has brought cousin marriages and kids being fostered between two cousins? What could have been the cause of that? Might it be mass illegal immigration of people who are told as part of a political war to outbreed the Brits? Could it be? And what are we taught biblically about sexual relations, about lording power over others, about the sanctity of life? All of it adverse to the word of God. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. It's not all-inclusive. Some people choose the darkness. Man, that's frustrating. Some people choose the darkness. Darkness is pursuing us, but there's never been a time where if a room is dark and you light a light, that the darkness just consumes the light. Those of us who have been afforded the light of Christ, in this Christmas season, I wonder how much of us, or how many of us, are able to truly, truly celebrate, truly, the birth. We'll talk about that in a personal note. Right now, just one other thing before the Tower of Babbling. The Mockingbird media is getting destroyed. They're finally beginning to pay a fee. President Trump and the $16 million settlement with ABC Disney because George Stephanopoulos lied on the air when he said President Trump was found liable of rape in the E. Jean Carroll case. Not true. That was a pretty quick settlement, and now Disney executives are saying behind the scenes they were worried about a Florida jury. Okay. So $16 million. CNN is likely going to end up paying yet another settlement. This to a United States military veteran, and CNN lied about him. Jake Tapper's upset about that. And there are people in the Mockingbird media who are beginning to understand the degree to which they may have permanently lost any sway, particularly with young voters. In the vernacular of the 1960s weathermen, leftist organizer and CNN commentator Van Jones knows what time it is.
We are way off. The entire political class is way off. First of all, digital is a new door knocking. Mm-hmm. You got to understand that. We were laughing our butts off at Donald Trump for suspending his door knocking campaign and letting Charlie Kirk and Elon do a bunch of stuff online. Mm-hmm. We said, these guys are idiots. These guys are stupid. Then you start knocking on these doors. You know what people come to the door with? Their phone in their hand. They're in a 24-hour digital surround sound that has nothing to do with CNN, has nothing to do with any stuff that we do. I asked my son, I got a teenage son, I asked him, who are the most influential people in the world today? I'm thinking to myself, he's going to say Barack Obama, Oprah Winfrey, Jay-Z. He says, Kai Cent, Aiden Ross, Jinxie, and Sketch. I don't know who he's talking about. I said, what platforms are you on? He goes, I'm on Twitch, Kick, and Rumble. I said, that sounds like you need to go to the hospital. What are these platforms? I'm telling you guys, the mainstream has become fringe, and the fringe has become mainstream. There are platforms, there are people out there that are getting 14 million streams, and we're on cable news getting 1 or 2 million. And so there is a whole world out there. Kellyanne Conway, I hate to agree with her, but I do a lot of times, Donald Trump understood that and we didn't. And it's not just Democrats that don't. The entire political class is way off, way off, way off.
It's corruption. It's slick corruption. Slick lies said in slick ways. And it's our opportunity for a harvest. To young people, man, you think the Mockingbird media lies about politics. Wait until you hear the lies they've told you about Christmas and Jesus. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
You think you just fell out of a coconut tree?
I am Kamala Harris. My pronouns are she and her. I am a woman sitting at the table wearing a blue suit.
That's the most astonishing clip. Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling, almost always three. Maybe this woman doesn't understand the brutal history of the government labeling citizens.
I say we pass a law that requires anyone who voted for that orange piece of to wear their Trump hat 24/7. Because conservatives are dangerous for anyone who isn't white, Christian, or male. Completely dangerous. Like dynamite waiting to go off in your hand. So I think we should all get a public service warning. Don't you?
Okay. Black voters, female voters, except for single white females, Hispanic voters, they disagreed. So did Jewish voters, incidentally. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. President Trump's utterly disqualified, inept, and or corrupt Surgeon General nominee, Dr. Jeannette, scolded American parents about woke masks and their kids.
And the only time that they can remove their mask is if they, obviously, if they're sleeping, if they're swimming, if they're eating, and they still have to maintain that social distancing as well. Wearing a mask isn't just to protect yourself. You're actually helping to protect others.
It's still recommended, though, if you are going outdoors in public, around other people, around crowds, gotta wear your mask, even if you're vaccinated.
Just use your common sense. Know your risk if you're in an area where you're not sure, if you're in a crowded area, if you're in public, if you're not vaccinated, wear your mask.
Wear a mask even after you've been vaccinated. It is important that we continue to educate and encourage those who are unvaccinated that the vaccine is safe and effective.
Yes. Use your common sense. If you can smell a flower through your woke mask or your friend's deodorant, it's not blocking the virus. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, disgraced and impeached Analeo Mayorkas speaks his latest excuse about the drones in New Jersey.
Let me set the record straight here, George. There are thousands of drones flown every day in the United States. Recreational drones, commercial drones. That is the reality. And in September of 2023, the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, changed the rules so that drones could fly at night. And that may be one of the reasons why now people are seeing more drones than they did before, especially from dawn to dusk.
It may be. Oh, thank you, Lord, for placing that guy up on that tower so we can observe that he's a liar. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is. Yes.
On a Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, there is a magic in apologizing to young people, and it just now God revealed to me the connection to the Christmas story or the facts of Christmas. The birth of the Messiah, who came from Nazareth and was forced to flee King Herod and his membership in a family that was the correct lineage, but not the correct economic class, as the powerful people would have thought, the Pharisees would have thought, well, no, the Messiah would be one of us, would come from power and money. He represented something far different to people of a common class. Hope, astonishment. Wait, the Messiah is the kid from Nazareth? That's Joseph's kid? Mary's kid? Weren't there questions about his lineage? Weren't there questions about that birth? Yeah, there were questions that are now answered, but they meant something different to people who had had power rain down upon them, the power of people like Herod and the Romans. And to know that the Messiah was coming from among them meant something far different, relatable. I can imagine people seeing Jesus for the first time, hearing about this incredible rabbi, this his signs and wonders. He raises from the dead. He cures lepers on command. He banishes demons, and then they walk around, and they see a group of people coming into the marketplace, and wow, is Jesus going to be here? Yeah, he's the guy there washing that other dude's feet. No, I meant Jesus, the rabbi. Right, that's what I mean. He's the guy washing feet, that's Jesus. Why is he washing feet? I don't know, he does that. Something about seeking to serve and not be served. It's a beautiful thing when someone feels they're being met where they're at. There's a boy who is really fighting to get on the right side. He's reading his Bible every night. He's trying to bring his family around to the Lord. He's trying to get them to come back to church. He's a football player. He's a wrestler. And the other day he came to me and I responded in exactly the wrong way. But man, God gave me an opportunity. He came to me and said he'd PR'd one of his lifts in one of his weightlifting classes. I PR'd, personal record. And I said, dude, I'm proud of you. Let me see your form. So he showed me his form. I said, oh man, we got to work on that. You're going to get hurt. And then a friend of mine distracted me. This young kid walked away. I talked to my friend for a second. I said, I got to go. Because I felt something in my soul. I'd taken this moment this young man wanted to share with me. And I congratulated and then crushed. So I went back. I took him aside and said, I need to apologize to you. You told me some incredibly good news. I'm so proud of you. I should have waited till later to talk about form. It's just that I love you and I don't want you to get hurt. I apologize. Will you forgive me? The look in his eyes was, I cannot believe an adult man is asking for my forgiveness. It's almost like we're in the same station in life, because we are. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, because we believe we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his Word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations until God says we can speak again together. May his peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.